We are going to look at the book of Psalm 24. Let us open together in a word of prayer before we do that. Our dear loving Master, we want to thank you again for this morning, for gathering us in this manner so that we can worship you, we can sing songs of praise to your great name. We want to thank you also that we can come to your house this morning to know something of your greatness, something of your goodness even to us. We want to commend, O Lord, the few moments we shall spend here in your word, asking that you may visit each and every one of us gathered here this morning in a special way. We ask, O Lord, for your special favor to rest upon us. We want to commend even our time into your hands. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask for all this. Amen. Last week, Pastor Maluan was looking at the book of Psalms, the first book of Psalms, and he introduced the book of Psalms, and in his message, he talked of those that are happy. In other versions, it says blessed. And what we saw is that those that are happy, it's those who shun evil. They do not sit in the seat of mockers, but their delight is in the law, and they meditate on it day and night. And one of the questions which he asked was, which group do you belong to? Today, we are going to look at Psalm 24, and the first verse says, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belong to the Lord. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. I'm sure most of us, if I ask, we have houses, and you say it's my house. We have at times some title deeds. We own something. But the psalmist is telling us that the earth, everything in the earth, its inhabitants, everything belongs to God. And not only does he own everything, but he is the one who created everything. He is the creator. He has created everything from nothing. Now, let's try and see some implications for this. For example, I am here in Lebanon. The Lebanese authorities have some rules. I must have the residence for me to stay here. If I'm driving on the roads, I must have the driver's license. And those rules, I must keep them if I'm in Lebanon, because the people who control this area, those are the rules which they have put down. But here, David is telling us that the earth and everything in it belongs to God. And one of the things, okay, we shall talk about David, the man who wrote this psalm also a bit, and see a few things we can learn from him. One of the things which David had learned over the years from the Lord, at one time, after he had fought battles, he was established, he was in his palace. We can see that in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1 to 16. We don't need to turn to it. He thought to himself that here he was in the palace, and yet the ark of the Lord was in a tent outside. So he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And of course, he consulted the prophet Nathanael, and the prophet, of course, inquired of the Lord if he can build a house for the Lord. And of course, God told him that he doesn't live in houses built by man, but he blessed David because of this desire and thought he had of building a house for the Lord where they could worship the Lord, they could pray to the Lord, they could learn from God's word. And this is the background of the man who wrote this psalm. But our main area of interest is, what is the implication of these words if they say the earth and everything belonging to it, the world, its inhabitants, belong to the Lord? One of the practical implications is that God is the one who is in charge. Even if we may not think or see it that way, and the implication also is that if he is the one who is in charge, by just looking at the creation, we are bound to serve him, to obey him, and worship him. God is the one who is in charge. Let's check in Acts 17 to try and see a bit more on this practical aspect. Acts 17, verse 24 to 31. Acts in the New Testament. Acts 17. The book of Acts 17. I can ask someone to assist us to read the book of Acts 17, verse 24 to 31.
Therefore,
Yeah, verse 26, from one man he made every nation to live over the whole earth, and he determined their appointed times, places. So what that means, you did not choose your parents. And also it's not by accident where you are born. There is nothing wrong. It's by what God determined. That is what we are being told here. Of course, if you check carefully, none of us chose who to be our father, mother. That was determined by God. But what God says, children, obey your parents. That's what God says. That's what God says. He doesn't say you obey them if they are more educated than you or more cleverer than you. No, but he says, children, obey your parents. Why? It's him who gave you the parents. Where you are born, where you live, that's determined by God. It's not by accident. We ought to be thankful. If we are in Lebanon, I'm born in Lebanon, I ought to be thankful to the Lord for that. Why? It's what God determined. And there is nothing wrong with that. I'm bringing out this aspect. One of my colleagues, my workmates, when I was asking him, how are you, how is your father, when he just came in, so he turned to me and told me, my father, this man, that man. Then I asked him, what's the problem? So he says he was not impressed with him. Then I told him that the Bible says, honor your mother and your, he's your father, he's your mother. The Bible does not say if they are good or if they are not drunkards, then you can honor them. The principle we have is honor your mother and your father. That's what God commands us to do. So, one of the reasons why we are looking at this, because many times we think that we have, like I'm here in Lebanon today. Why? Maybe because I got a job with the UN. That's, of course, one way in which we can explain it, but at the end of it all, it's by God's purpose that we are wherever we are. Whether we go there because we got a job, or we go to some place because we got married to someone, or we went to some place for business, that still we see that it's God who determines all that. That is not by accident, as we are told by the Apostle Paul, that it's God who has determined the places where we live, wherever, where we work, and whatever, wherever we are. It's not by accident. And that is one of the facts, the reason why David feared the Lord. He had the fear of God. Whatever he wanted to do, normally he asked God for guidance. Even things, he was a skillful fighter. He was an experienced commander. He had fought many battles. But still, he relied on the Lord if he has to go out to battle. And one of the things which I was just wondering, this was a good idea for him to build a temple. He may have done it without asking the prophet, but he doesn't do so. He still inquires from the Lord whether that was the right thing to do. But of course, God tells him it was not him, but one of his children was going to build him the temple. But because of his thoughts, his desires, God was going to bless him. Now, if where we live, it's not by accident, then one of the questions we can try to ask is that, then why are we born from the families where we are born? Why are we in Lebanon even at this time? What does God expect of you and me, wherever he has placed you, in your family, in this country, in this city? One of the things is that we may glorify him. We may do what he commands. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, we must go out to share the good news. That's one of our missions. That's one of the Christian's mission. Or what you may call the mandate, the organization I work for, there is what they call, they draft rules and reasons why we should be in the South. One of the reasons why we are in the South, it's to see that the line of withdrawal is respected by the Lebanese Armed Forces and the Israel Defense Forces. That's our mandate, or that's our mission. And if anyone tries to cross, then I will go and say, you are not supposed to do this, because we agreed that no one should cross this line, you 200 meters from here and you 200 meters from here. So that's our mission, that's our goal. And for the Christian's mission in this world, one of the missions is to glorify God. Two, we see in Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ telling us to share the good news. That's part of our mission and responsibility. From our families where he has placed us, our relatives, friends, the area where we are living, that's part and parcel of the mission, why God has placed us there. So I hope that is a bit clear. So that's what God expects from us. I know at times I was talking to someone, they were not happy. They became Christians, but the whole family and the other people were not Christians. So that did not make them happy, and they didn't even want to associate that much. But when you look critically at what the Apostle Paul is telling us, it's not by accident that God has put us there. There is a role which we are supposed to play. As Christians. Let's move on to the other point, what the Apostle Paul mentions in verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. So, when we see what Pastor Maluan was talking about, the book of Psalms, it was talking about two groups of people. Those who will truly be happy because they belong to God, they belong to God's family, and they shun evil. Then the other ones who continue in sin, and he talks of them that at the end they are going to perish. And we cannot run away from this. An example is our medical now is quite good, advanced. In the time of Adam, Adam lived more than 900 years. They didn't have, I'm sure, CT scan and all these gadgets we have. And the reason why Adam died is because of what God had said: if you sin, you surely die. If you disobey me, you surely die. And that's what happened. Adam and Eve, they sinned, and everyone who comes after them, we are born sinners. We are born as enemies of God. Though we are still God's image bearers, we can still see some good things about man. The consequence for sin, the wage of sin, is death, and there is no any other payment for that. And that is why the Apostle Paul was telling these men to run to Christ for their sins to be forgiven. Minus that, they will not be happy. They will not be blessed. Why? Because if they are enemies of God, the consequences will follow. Will follow. We see with our eyes, people are born, after some years they die. Even if we have advanced in our technology, in medicine, and many other things, still, you won't find someone who is 250 years or 300. But of course, in the Bible, we read some men lived 800 years, 900 years, I mean, almost 8 centuries, 9 centuries. Yeah, so that's also a testimony that it's not dependent on us men. It's God who is in charge. Actually, if God does not control the air, God does not control the waters in the sea, they can come and swallow us up. So God is in charge. God controls all things, animate and inanimate. The direction of the wind, we see the sun rising up in the morning and it sets in the evening, the seasons changing. We only realize at times that some of the things are not dependent on us. When we have a drought, it doesn't rain for years, then we realize it's even a difficult for us to survive. So let's see, I'd wanted us to see one example That is from one example from the New Testament, another example from the Old Testament. The example from the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 to 27, where the Lord Jesus Christ calms the storm, and the disciples were amazed that who is this person who can even the winds obey him. And our Lord Jesus Christ is God. If we read in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 12, we are told that he is part of the Godhead. He was not created. He has been there before creation. And he became a flesh because it's man who had sinned. As God, he did not qualify to die for the sins. God cannot die. So that is why the Lord Jesus Christ took up the human form. So in Matthew 8, verse 24 to 27, we see the Lord Jesus Christ calming the storm. The other example, this one we can turn to it and read, 1 Kings 17, verse 4 to 6. 1 Kings, Kings is in the Old Testament. Maybe someone can read for us. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4 to 6. So we see someone calls this at the Hotel Ravens. He had room service, bread, meat. Yeah, so we see God commanding the birds to take the bread, to take to the prophet Elijah when he was hiding. And I'm sure we normally don't, we cannot use the birds. If you give them the bread, the meat, they'll eat it themselves. Yeah, so they obeyed what God had said. And God told Elijah, go hide in this place next to this stream. I've commanded the birds, the ravens, they will bring you the bread and the meat. And you stay there. And it was the way God had said, and it happened exactly like that. Elijah did not starve to death or die of hunger. No. The birds brought the meat and the bread. So this is also just to show that God is in control of everything. God is the one in charge. Though we normally think it's man in charge, but when we read the word of God, God is the one who is in charge. And that is the reason he is the one we are supposed to fear. He is the one where our allegiance should be. It should be to God. So what we see in Psalm 24, David was talking about God being great, being in control, being the king. And then later on, he goes to ask the question, who can approach this God And of course, he's not talking of people being anything good about the Israelites, no, but he talked of the purity of heart, and also he talks of them that shun evil, that are not involved in deceit. So one of the lessons we have from Psalm 24 verse 1 is that God is the one who has created all things. He's the one who has set where we live, where we are born, the family we belong to. That's not by accident. But there is what he requires from you and me, wherever he has placed you, wherever he has put you there. There is what he requires from his children in the world where he has placed them. When the Lord Jesus Christ prays, he did not pray that his children be taken out of the world, but he prayed that they are protected. The same for you, where he has placed you, it's for a particular purpose, and one of it is to glorify his name. So the means, let me wind up. So one of the things what we have said is that the purpose is that we glorify God. But one of our requirements, if there is one thing we can learn also from David, is that he took advantage of the means of grace. He took advantage of whatever was there, what would bring him closer to God. So one of my encouragements to you would be, once we have these services, invite other people to the services. When there are Bible studies, those are meant for your good. Make sure you avail yourself, because that's the only way you can cultivate your holiness. That's the only way you can become closer to God. And also when there are the prayer meetings, and also your private prayer, all those are important for a Christian, for a child of God. So whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, God is in control. It's not man in charge, or it's not you in charge. It's God who is in control. And where you are born, it's by God's design. And we ought to be thankful to God even for that. So let's close together in a word of prayer. Our eternal Father, we want to thank you that you are the one who created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them. You are the one who has existed even before the world, the earth, the universe existed. We want to thank you that you care about us. You are concerned about us. We want to continue asking for your mercies, O Lord, that even as we meet Sunday after Sunday, we may grow in our faith, we may grow even in the knowledge of the insight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask, O Lord, that you may help us to be a people who will glorify your name with our lives. We pray and ask also that you might help us to be a people who will obey what you have commanded us in your word, to reach out to those that do not know you, to share the good news. We want to thank you where you have placed us, the families where we are born from, the countries where we are coming from. We know that it's not by accident, but it's you who determined and set all this. Lord, we ask that may the praise, the honor, the glory, the majesty be to your great name. We ask, O Lord, that you may be with us in this day. We ask also that you may go before us even in this coming week. We want also to continue asking for your mercies, to continue resting upon this country, Lebanon. We ask, O Lord, that you may be merciful, you may watch over this country, and you may bless this country. In Jesus' name, Father, we want to ask for all this. Amen.